castle. Led by the chairperson, and I'm also seeing Nemisa, they are also here. You are welcome. Members, we need to start with the meeting because we are having a time constraint. Parliament has just changed its program, so all the afternoon sessions, we are not going to be able to have meetings because they are sitting. And it's difficult to get approval to meet during those times. So we only have now until 1 to do whatever we need to do. If members, you remember the program today, we're supposed to have ICASA in the morning and in USAFA afternoon. But because of the parliament program, we've resorted to rescheduling USAFA because we can't have USAFA today. And the issues ICASA need to report at, there are too many. We can't congest the program to accommodate USAFA. So that is one issue which we just have to indicate in terms of the program. The second issue is that we have received a letter from the DOC requesting the postponement of SABC appearance tomorrow before the committee to a later date, including DOC itself. You remember we resolved on our last committee meeting that SABC was supposed to appear or to come back tomorrow. But there is this request of postponing the appearance of SABC and the department itself, which we later scheduled it around the 23rd of November. During the last week when we received the request from the department, I've contacted almost all the parties. The Democratic Alliance, COPE, IFP, and indicated to them about this request. And all the parties understood the necessity of having SABC coming before the committee. But one of the issues was that when we call SABC, we need almost a full day. Under this schedule of parliament where you don't have the afternoon, it becomes practically impossible, one thing, SABC issues. We need a full day to deal with those issues and so on. But all the parties, including the ANC, they agreed that indeed you must postpone the SABC hearing or the SABC appearance before the committee tomorrow. Now, I will take that all the parties, they still stand on that decision. Tomorrow morning when we have, where we're supposed to have SABC, we then reschedule to put USAFA because SABC won't be here. But I will ask the members that tomorrow morning the program or the reward program will be presented before the committee so that we can go through the program and see how to really adjust some of the items. I hope we still agree on that one. DA? ANC? Wow, okay. Thanks very much. The first item which we must deal with today is the issue of the committee dealing with the issue of reporting around the issue of the shortlisting of ICAC. As we know that we have received the letter from the minister or to the speaker which was indicating that there is a vacancy in ICAC which is going to occur on the 31st of March 2011. Now, the adverts were put and 24 people are blind. The task team dealt with the shortlisting and agreed that at least 5 people should be shortlisted to be able to be interviewed for that particular vacancy in ICASA. That has been dealt with. But I would request maybe the parties to indicate in terms of their preference, because when the task team met, I'm sure there was an agreement in terms of the name which need to be shortlisted. But I'll be guided by the parties whether we still stand by those shortlisted names so that we can take that particular process forward.
Okay, we had a meeting. We were shortlisted, and the DA was quite happy with the 5 names that came through. So I'm not quite sure what you want us to discuss here, because we were completely in agreement with the 5 names that our task team came up with.
AMC.
We absolutely support the task team. The task team is wonderful. We support all their hard work.
Thank you very much. They will just prepare the normal report which we must present before the committee for adoption. But I will allow maybe ICASA to continue their presentation. When that is ready, they will just go it through so that it can be adopted and formally, and then we proceed with the procedure. Please, like I've indicated, we're under time constraint. If people can just focus on presentation and so on, so that we can have more time to engage you on the issues which are going to raise. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, for inviting ICASA to come and make a presentation. We'd like to thank the honourable members for inviting us to present our annual report. We have divided our presentation into 2 sections. The first section comprises the authority's financial performance, encompassing both our achievements and challenges. The second section addresses non-financial performance, including performance against objectives, future performance, and corrective measures in response to the Auditor General's response. Honourable members, the qualified audit is most regrettable as it comes in spite of the authority's effort to improve internal controls and systems. However, we believe the lackluster performance of the authority in the internal control domain, specifically in the finance unit, should not eclipse the strategic goals accomplished by the authority in a climate of limited capacity and resources. In line with the authority's strategic objective to liberalize the sector and enhance competition, several new licenses were issued. These include 5 new individual ECNS, 58 class ECS, 55 class ECNS, 27 class sound BS, and 2 community TV licenses. The authority further processed 432 aeronautic applications, 114 amateur applications, 124 maritime applications, and 202 radio dealer certificates, among other things. We sought to promote sustainable competition and accordingly develop guidelines for conducting market reviews in terms of Chapter 10, published market studies reports for identified relevant markets, and a framework for wholesale regulation application to individual ECNS and ECS licensees. All the latter processes have culminated in the publication of the much-awaited coal termination regulation in the 2010-2011 financial year. In the interest of enhancing competition within the postal sector, the authority issued an additional 21 courier service licenses and reviewed the economic regulatory framework of the postal sector. The authority further reviewed price caps applicable to Telkom and tariffs applicable to SAPO. Non-discriminatory allocation of numbers is central to healthy competition, and the authority published the revised numbering plan regulation. In addition, the much-expected interconnection and facilities leasing regulations have participated in ITUR study groups and SABS technical committees and have secured knowledge-sharing partnership with various universities. As per our objective to address consumer complaints, the authority resolved 62% of the complaints filed in the financial year and conducted 496 workshops as part of our public education and awareness strategies. Naturally, our work is subject to extensive scrutiny. We resolved 565 inquiries and held 47 media interviews in an attempt to explain our decisions. The authority further published the end user and subscriber service charter, an integrity of mail regulation and commission two research projects central to our understanding of the impact of regulation. The first centered on access of service for people with disabilities, and the second on consumer experience and perception of accessibility, available, and reliability of services. We have the two documents that can be made available to you, honorable members. We are delighted to share these reports with you today. Honorable members, I remain optimistic as ICASA has entered a new chapter, and I'm happy to report that ICASA is receptive to change. Following the Auditor's General Report and the External Audit and Risk Committee reports, we sought legal opinion to address the grave concern raised. We are currently implementing advice presented to us. Equally important, the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Communication has provided the authority with a letter from the former CEO, Mr. Motlana, who is implicated in the latter report. We are more than willing to address the issue raised in Motlana's letter and have formulated a full response thereto. Furthermore, corporate governance has been elevated in line with Professor Mervyn King's third report. The authority has adopted austerity budgeting in the context of the global recession. International travel has been reduced to bare minimum and cancellers all travel economic class locally. Several regulations have been completed within my short tenure. The call termination regulation are being followed by the career pre-selection regulation. Review of handset subsidy regulation and complaints and compliance regulation, to mention a few. As we conclude the regulation pertaining to wholesale, we are preparing to embark on the retail space. And we hope that it will be completed somewhere around next year. The authority is aware that many interests are awaiting the local loop regulations. You may recall that a policy directive was published by the Department of Communication requiring the authority to complete the local loop regulation by November 2011. The authority would like to reassure you that efforts are underway to conclude this regulation within the current financial year to further stimulate competition. The broadcasting competition are also feeling the benefits of the recently published regulation, even in today's business day, there is an article that refers to what this competition is beginning to do to our industry. Specifically, the codes which regulate transactions between broadcaster and independent producer, and the reviewed regulation on sports broadcasting rights and digital terrestrial television broadcasting, with a strategic objective to strengthen regulation, in brackets, this is monitoring and compliance. The authority conducted 84 monitoring visits in the postal sector, 36 ECS and ECNS visits, 86 BS visits across the country, and completed 1,704 compliance reports at regional level. The authority also developed a draft compliance procedure manual to further enforce and measure compliance with the with all regulations. In line with our mandate, draft elections report on the national and provincial government election was compiled to ascertain the degree of compliance with the regulation by the BS during the previous election. The authority has also approved a framework to facilitate regulation impact analysis to allow for regular self-introspection. In addition, the authority proposed detailed amendments to the ECA ICASA Act, Postal Service Bill, and the Broadcasting Act to improve the legislative framework governing the activities of the authority and the sector. Analysis of the impact of the published broadband policy on the sector and regulator is planned for the new fiscal year, to the new financial year. Authorities intend to enable effective management of spectrum and technology is evident in the published spectrum fee regulation and spectrum auditing processes which seek to establish use and availability of spectrum. The authority published the long-awaited National Radio Frequency Plan and Broadcasting Frequency Plan after extensive consultation with all stakeholders. And this was done to ensure that we remain abreast with the technological changes we thus far have in front of us. The authority has appointed a new CEO. This gentleman is even more handsome than I am, sitting right next to me. Oh no, he's young, but he's thinking old. Yes. But I must say, he is a brilliant person, very energetic, and for his few days that he has been with us, we can already see his footprints. We also have done a lot in terms of spearheading much needed change at the operational level. We finally have renewed confidence in ICASA. Colleagues, I can safely say that in my short stay here at ICASA, barely 6 months, noticeable changes have occurred. People are beginning to smile in all corridors of ICASA, and should the committee have chance to invite us, you are cordially invited. you are cordially invited to attend. We are very transparent. Many industry of ICT have visited us, and other diplomatic missions like Brazil, Japan, etc., are constantly knocking at our door. And ours is a transparent ICASA, but we never give our way our reason. Now, colleagues, honorable members, we made this presentation easier for you. It was not included in the package. But should you want further details on what I have elaborated on, it's contained in the handout that we just gave you. Now, without wasting time, I would like to then highlight some of the things that pertain to the core of our presentation. I shall ask my colleague to turn to the vision and mission statement. We found this vision to be still appropriate, and it reads like so. To be a credible and effective regulator in the transformation of South Africa into an information and knowledge-based society. If all of you who interviewed me here when I was very nervous, I told you that I want to change ICASA into a faculty and a community of learners. And I didn't waste time, and I didn't equivocate to that point. We are dead serious that ICASA is going to be that way. Our mission is to create a competitive environment for delivering a wide range of high-quality communication services at affordable prices in order to contribute to the economic growth and social development of South Africa. We are dead serious that this tale of two cities, of the best of time and the worst of time, must be closed in this rainbow nation of ours. Our strategic intent is that regulate are as follows, and I have serialized in no strict order. We have to regulate the communication sector in the public interest. We have to position the communication sector as a sector of choice for local and international investors. We have to achieve universal service and access for disadvantaged individuals and communities. We have to facilitate affordability of a wide range of quality service and consumers. And last but not least, we need to establish and maintain regional, continental, and international partnerships in the regulation of the ICT space. Now, colleagues, when it comes to business plan objectives, we also have these items mentioned or serialized in no strict order. We have to ensure regulatory certainty, liberalize and promote competition in the ICT sector, monitor, adjudicate, and enforce compliance with regulation and the law, fulfill mandate, and deliver services effectively and efficiently. We have to align structure, leadership, and culture with strategy. And we have to enhance business processes and intelligent governance and reporting. When it comes to organigram, it is much simpler now. When I first came to ICASA, it read like hieroglyphics. But now all of us can see that it is much simpler to read, and one can plow through it easier. Colleagues, I think my part will end here, and I would like to throw this to my CEO to continue the process.
Thank you, Chair and the Honorable Member. The manner in which we are going to go through some of the slides, some of them will not go so much into detail, but just to provide the members with some highlights at a high level. The slide that is now being presented is primarily giving a picture of the demographics within the authority. And as one can see in terms of gender and race, the percentage differences in terms of gender and race are not so much apart. But on this slide, honorable members and chair, what I wanted to highlight is that when one looks at the total number of people that are employed, which is 363, and you look at the scope of coverage in terms of the mandate of ICASA, it raises a number of challenges for ICASA, especially from a funding point of view. When one looks at the non-financial performance of the authority, I will just highlight a few areas in terms of what we have done. The first is to indicate that the following licenses were issued. Five individual ECNF licenses, 58 plus electronic communication services, 55 plus ECNS, 27 plus land broadcasting services, and two community TV licenses, and 432 aeronautical applications, 114 amateur applications, 128 maritime applications, and 202 radio dealer certificates, among others. Going further in terms of promoting sustainable competition, the authority has developed guidelines for conducting market reviews in terms of Chapter 10 of the Electronic Communication Act. We have also, in terms of promoting sustainable competition, published market studies report in a framework for wholesale on-call termination regulation. We have also published the call termination regulation. In terms of enhancing competition within the postal sector, we have issued an additional 21 courier service licenses. We have also reviewed the price cap applicable to telecom and tariffs applicable to developing postal. In encouraging competition, the authority has looked at...
I'm not sure other members, they do have the document that they are following. Because I see some are paging. I'm not sure that they are able to get the document. We might be missing them going along. Do we have the document? I'll find the document. No, if you can continue, we'll try to check the documentation.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The document that I'm presenting is a summary version of the detailed document that was given to the members of the portfolio committee. So what we have done in this presentation is just to perhaps just look at a high level issue.
Just to give you a present movement of what we have done.
So in continuing, as I said, Chair and Honourable Members, that in terms of encouraging competition, we have looked at non-discriminatory allocation of numbers. We have also published draft revised numbering plan regulation. We have finalized the interconnection regulation. We are in the process of finalizing the local loop and bundling framework. And we have published the code which regulates transactions between broadcasters and the independent producers. In as far as strengthening regulation pertaining to monitoring and compliance, the authority has conducted 84 monitoring visits in the postal sector, which the chairperson has already alluded to. We have also conducted 122 licensing visits across the country and completed 1,704 compliance reported at the regional level. So the chairperson has already alluded to those aspects. We have also developed a compliance procedure manual, which he has covered, drafted election report on the national and provincial government election, and approved a framework to facilitate regulatory impact analysis to allow for evidence-based regulation. Moving forward, we have then also, in relation to strengthening regulation, primarily around monitoring compliance, we have made proposed detailed amendments in as far as the Electronic Communications Act, the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa Act, the South African Postal Bill, the South African Post Bill, Post Bank Bill, and the Public Service Broadcasting Bill. With regard to enable effective management of spectrum and technology, the authority has published spectrum fees, regulations, and spectrum auditing process. We have also published a national radio frequency plan and broadcasting frequency plan. We have participated in the ITUR study groups and the SABS technical committees and have secured knowledge sharing partnership with various universities. With regard to fostering universal service and access, the authority has resolved at least 62% of 3,390 complaints that it has received. The authority has conducted 496 workshops nationwide. We have then also, we can report that we have finalized in terms of end-user and subscriber service charter regulations, conveyance of mail regulations, commissioned two research projects in as far as access of service for people with disabilities and consumer experience and perception of accessibility, availability, and reliability of services. In terms of the licensing component, I will not elaborate a lot. The details are quite clear on the slides, and they are also in your detailed submission that we have made. But just to give a bit of highlight, with regard to the liberalization of sector access to basic services and economic growth, we can then say the target that we had at the time was 50 ECS and ECNS, 25 community CBS, and 30 courier services. And with respect to the first two, one can report that we have overachieved that particular target. With regard to the courier service, we are behind, but the one reckons that before the end of the financial year, we'd have addressed that particular shortcoming. In terms of the target related to ensure universal service access and services, the target there was that we consider and decide on launch individual license transfer and or amend applications in terms of the five ECS and ECNS and the 19 BS. Now, in terms of our achievement, one can report that 14 ECS and ECNS license transfer applications where we managed to achieve that target. Overall, one can see that in as far as those targets are concerned, we overachieved our targeted deliverable. Going forward, liberalization of sector in terms of access to basic services and economic growth, the target that we set was to publish the revised standard terms and conditions, regulations and processes and procedure regulations, grant and issue four individual ECNS license for cell provisioning to successful applicants, grant and issue one ECS and ECNS, one license to a public entity, allocation of 24 channels to SABC, MNET, ETV, and CBN, grant and issue three commercial sound broadcasting services licenses in primary markets, grant and issue two spectrum licenses for mobile broadcasting services. those were the targeted research. And then in terms of achievement, we can say that we have published the regulation. We have provided three licenses or issued three licenses to successful applicants. Two applicants were requested to furnish the authority with additional information. One ECNS license issued to broadband Infraco, one ECS license was refused. In terms of the allocation of 24 channels to SABC, MNET, ETV, and TBN, we can report that the digital terrestrial television regulations were published on the 15th of February 2010, this current year. We are waiting SABS, MNET, ETV, and TBN to submit amendment applications as per the DTT regulation. But once applications were received and we granted request for confidentiality and condonation. Project timelines extended to consider procedural issues and accommodate industry requests for submission of comments. The last one, the regulations and the invitation to apply have been finalized and published. The project could not be achieved due to court reviews that reviewed by interested parties. Moving forward, we can say that in terms of the target research, we had 14 monitoring visits to SACO, coastal outlets in all nine provinces, and production of compliance reports. We also had 63 monitoring visits to courier companies in all the nine provinces, and production of compliance report, 36 visits to ECNS license in all the nine provinces and production of compliance report. 48 monitoring visits to broadcast licenses in all the nine provinces and production of compliance report. The achievement in as far as those particular targets, we can report that the division responsible for this was able to verify all the SACO's new infrastructure as recorded in their first and second quarter report. The second target along those lines, we can indicate that in the framework for unreserved call for service was being finalized, monitoring was deferred to the 2010-11 financial year. An audit on unreserved postal services in respect of the undertakings made in terms of Section 22 of the Postal Service Amendment Act was done and a report was compiled. The authority only issued new licenses on the 16th of January 2009, thus monitoring could not commence in the 2009-10 financial year. An audit was conducted on compliance by ECS and ECNS licensees with the obligation to provide services within the prescribed period, that is 12 months for ECNS and 6 months for the ECS, from the date of issue of the license. In total, 413 letters were sent out, both class and individual ECS and ECNS, and only 190 licensees have responded. 86 monitoring visits were conducted for the 2009-2010 financial year. 85 post visit reports have been compiled. Monitoring was finalized in terms of the monitoring of national and provincial government elections and production of compliance report. We can say the achievement in as far as that is concerned, monitoring was finalized on the 31st of May 2009, and then consultants submitted their final analysis of all captured data on the 20th of August 2009. Election report has been. The target in terms of monitoring local government election and production of compliance report, the achievement in as far as that is concerned, project was deferred to 2010-11 financial year, as the local government elections are expected to be conducted in 2011. Production of regulations on compliance procedure manual, draft regulations were published on the 19th of March 2010. The development of publication of the USAO policy framework, service providers submitted a research report, the discussion document for public comment was compiled. In terms of developed the USA regulation as a target, the achievement we can report that projects project form part of the second phase of the review of the Universal Service and Access Obligation Framework. The project was deferred to the 2010-11 financial year. In terms of the readiness with respect to the 2010 FIFA World Cup, that was our predetermined objective. The target there was a high-level spend for monitoring and interference. In terms of our achievement, a high-level plan was produced. Spectrum monitoring was conducted in all venues. Spectrum and equipment authorizations were also completed. And in addition, QoS measurements were done for the GSM coverage. With respect to the to initiate and establish a research collaboration program with institutes of higher learning to assist in forecasting on technological development and spectrum issues, the target that we set was to develop a research team and engage institutes of higher learning. Our achievement, we can say, research teams were developed and the engagement with the higher learning institutes took place. Two universities submitted proposals for evaluation. On meaningful participation in technical forums as part of national and international standardization processes, the target that we have set was to contribute, make a contribution in terms of technical information to SADS IT working groups. In terms of our achievement, we can report that we participated in the SADS IT working group, and a specific contribution on short range devices was made in the ITUR working party. Further on, we said we will develop or implement a new and progressive spectrum-free framework, taking into account the economic value of spectrum and ensuring efficient use of spectrum. Now, the target was to say the new framework should be in place and regulations completed. The new framework was approved by Council and the regulations were completed. In terms of the review of national radio frequency plan, taking into account the regional harmonization and the results of the WRC 07 and other WRCs, the target there was to complete the plan and submit for ministerial approval. In terms of our achievement, the national radio frequency plan was completed and submitted for approval to the minister in November 2009. Another predetermined objective was the development of broadcasting frequency plans in support of digital migration. Our targets were publication of the plan, and then the plans were published in November 2009. We also said part of our predetermined objective is the development of preliminary frequency migration plans to form part of the national radio frequency plan. The target was a preliminary plan for frequency migration. Unfortunately, we're not able to achieve that particular target. We'll probably elaborate more on why we have not been able to achieve that particular target. The review of equipment type approval framework to align with international trends and streamline processes, the new type approval framework and regulations, that was our target, and we are just awaiting a finalization of that level. Development of radio frequency spectrum related to regulation and procedure. The target was draft regulations, and then the achievements, therefore, were to the draft regulations were completed and were ready for publication. Spectrum audit for specific priority spectrum bands to ascertain spectrum utilization. We put a target to complete audit of the 450 to 470 megahertz band. I can report that in that regard, the 450 to 470 megahertz band was completed. In addition, spectrum audit were done. Also on the 770 to the 860 megahertz band that were identified for GTL division dividends. In terms of development of the GCMS, GSM and CDMA measurement capability and conduct measurement for QoS. The target was equipment acquired, training for employees, and trial measurements. our achievements with respect to the required equipment licenses were obtained, and employees were trained, and trials were done in Gauteng with 1,000 calls per network. The development of wireless network for spectrum monitoring, the GSM-based monitor network was our target in terms of commissioning, and the network was commissioned. With respect to markets and competition, our predetermined objectives, we had more or less plus minus more than several predetermined objectives. The first one was to guidelines setting out the procedure and process that the authority will adopt. We target was to have workshops, report, and have public notice. In terms of our achievement, we published the guidelines, processes, and procedures for Chapter 10 in terms of ECHA with a public briefing session. Documents provide regulatory certainty on the processes of the authority, and also will follow for implementing pro-competitive terms and conditions where it's necessary. Market studies report for identified relevant markets in terms of call termination. The target discussion document on market definition, SMP, and effectiveness of competition. Achievement, we can say, discussion document including draft regulations released on the 16th of April 2010. This document provided the basis for the completion of the call termination regulation, which was released on the 29th of October this year. Framework interconnection and facility listing regulation. The target was regulation, and the achievement, we published the draft interconnection and facilities listing regulation. Final regulation published in the first quarter 2010-2011. This regulation enforced the obligation to interconnect these facilities, which is crucial for facilitating interoperability, interoperable networks, and greater competition. Effective assessment of interconnection and electronic communication facilities listing agreement. The target we set was to ensure effective assessment of interconnection agreement. The achievement with respect to that, we processed 41 interconnection agreements and 66 facility listing agreements. Promote sustainable, stable, dynamic and innovative competition in the ICT sector. Telecom tariff review. The target was review telecom tariffs within 15 days timeline. The target for the achievement analyzed and approved the 2009-10 tariff review within stipulated 15 day timeline, meeting the timelines ensured continued regulatory certainty. Promote sustainable, stable, dynamic innovation competition in ICT in terms of SAPO-SAM tariff review. The target was to review within stipulated 2 months review period. We have analyzed the SAPO 2009-10 tariff review within the stipulated time frame and meeting the timeline and short continued regulatory certainty. Again, with the same predetermined objective, we said we will review number of requests within the 28-day calendar days. Our achievement, in as far as that is concerned, we analyzed and processed 72 ad hoc tariff allotments, meeting the timelines just to make sure that we ensure continued regulatory certainty. On the allocation of numbers to licenses, the target that we have set was effective review of applications for numbers. We have processed 335 numbering applications, and again, meeting the timeline so that we can ensure regulatory certainty. Going along, we said we developed codes of practice or guidelines on commissioning of independently produced production content. The target was to publish regulations, and in terms of our achievement, to finalize the position paper, and the regulations were published. These regulations provide regulatory certainty to the relationship between the broadcaster and the independent producer. Review of the conduct for broadcasting service licenses. The target that we have set was published regulation, and the achievement in as far as that is concerned, the regulations were finalized and published. And again, these regulations ensure that broadcasting content is not harmful to the society and ensure fair coverage of news current affairs. In terms of the review of current regulations on sport broadcasting rights, the target was to publish the regulations, and the achievement, therefore, on the particular target was final findings document and the regulations were published. Again, these regulations will have to are there to ensure that national interest, sporting interests are available to the society through free-to-air broadcasting services. Develop regulations for digital terrestrial television broadcasting. Publish regulations in as far as that was our target. The final position paper and regulations were published. And again, these regulations will ensure greater spectrum availability for a greater range of services that broadcasters move from the analog to the digital broadcasting platform. And also the implementation of these regulations depend on clarifying the standard for digital broadcasting. Develop and publish new regulatory framework for VOD and IPTV. The target was to formulate a framework document. In terms of the achievement, the project was delayed and was only finalized in August 2010. The impact is to clarify the licensing requirements in terms of IPTV and VOD services, therefore, so that we can ensure investor certainty. Development of a framework for regulatory impact assessment. The target was to generate a report, and the achievement was that this is an internal report for the authority, now uses to evaluate the impact of proposed regulation on ICT to ensure public benefit. The review the current regulations on ownership and the control of commercial services and limitations on broadcasting services. The target we set was send new recommendations to the Minister of Communication and publish regulations. The achievement, we are ready to publish the draft regulations and submit recommendations in the third quarter. In terms of study into the regulatory models of addressing, allocating, and allocating the digital dividends, the target we set was the regulatory framework. The authority has submitted its proposed recommendation to the Department of Communication on how best to allocate spectrum under digital dividend. In terms of consumer affairs, we had predetermined objectives, and the first one was to receive and manage resolutions of complaints. And we can say, again, that particular predetermined objective, we put a target of resolving at least 60% of the complaints that we receive. We produce and distribute 30,000 copies of complaints. In terms of our achievement, we have received and handled 3,390 consumer complaints. We have resolved 2,101 consumer complaints, and 82 of the complaints were also resolved. We printed and distributed 30,000 copies of the complaints. Another predetermined objective was to monitor compliance and with consumer protection regulations. The target we have set was 4 compliance reports. Our achievement was to monitor the quality of service provided by the operators in the 9 provinces. We also had an objective to provide public education and awareness, and the target was to have 9 national campaigns. So far, we have conducted 5 national campaigns to enhance public education and awareness. Also, one of the objectives also was to establish, launch, and monitor consumer representative forums. The target there was 6 consumer representative forums. The achievement was to establish consumer representative forums to assist in collating information on consumer-related issues and forward to the authority for intervention. Another predetermined objective was to create regulatory certainty. And in that regard, the target was regulation, free regulation. our achievements in that regard. We provided support to the development of conveyance of mail regulations that were established. And we also provided support to the development of e-rate regulations. Also, to establish and maintain partnerships with organizations that promote people with disabilities. Our target was 9 reports on meetings held, and then the achievement, we established partnership with the Association for People with Disabilities to assess compliance with regulations on the code of on the code on people with disabilities. In terms of legal, the predetermined objective was to ensure that ICASA discharges its mandate within the law. The target is to reduce the number of litigation and all favorable court judgment. So far, we had our achievement. We had 22 litigation matters, and 10 of them were finalized. Recommendations on possible amendment to the identifying status finalized and submitted. 63 reasons for decisions and regulations were drafted and vetted. 31 legal opinions were provided. Adjudicate disputes and complaints from licensees and consumers. The target we set was timely resolution of complaints. The achievement complaints and compliance committee adjudicated 5 complaints against licensees. Now, moving on to the financial performance for the 2009-2010 financial year. Chair and honorable members, that is just the reflection of the main account. As you can see, on the 31st of March 2009, what was the value in terms of our revenue and also our expenditure. And just to reiterate what I said earlier on about the demographics of the authority, to say that if you have 663 employees to cover a wide sector like this one, the revenue that we receive against the expenditure is quite the drop in the ocean, so to speak. So these are just the consolidated financials, which we will elaborate based on the questions that may be raised. Now, in as far as the NRM financial performance as of the 31st, March this particular year. We can then report also that with respect to broadcasting, the revenue that we generated or increased was as a result of changes in the licensee regulation. The broadcasters were paying 1% of their gross profit, which was after deducting 20% from the regulating revenue. In the new licensee regime, the license 1.5% of the gross profit, which is arrived at after deducting direct costs. Now, the implication of that is that if we had based our revenue on, one would see that going forward, if one looks at Telkom, for example, their revenue has drastically declined, and that is because in the past, the revenue was 1 to 5% of the net operating income, and it has now been changed to 1.5 of the gross profit. In terms of frequency, the revenue increases because of new entrants who can now develop their own network. And with respect to postal service, there was minimal decrease in regulated postal service income. Now, moving on to the audit opinion, the approach one will take, Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee, is to basically give a bird's eye view on the issue that the Auditor General has actually identified, and then going forward is to elaborate on sort of the corrective measures that we have embarked on. Now, this slide will obviously show where the findings were in terms of accruals. The finding that the Auditor General has made on this particular matter was that there was no system of control over the recording of outstanding invoices at the financial year when the audit was conducted. The problem area was in some divisions were obviously not informing finance about the services that they have undertaken or about the invoice that might be at their disposal. So The long and short story, in as far as that is concerned, we have looked at suppliers with open orders and requested to, you know, to be provided with the necessary invoices in terms of the service level agreement that we have entered into. We have also taken an action that suppliers are informed to submit all invoices to the supply chain management unit when the offer letter is being sent to them. The long-term action is to create a workflow system that will be implemented in order to have an audit trail to track the flow of all documentation in the supply chain process and to enable every affected person to see the status of each and every order. The plans that we have in terms of the workflow was the presentation of different workflow systems that we have done in the first and second week of October this year. The IT and finance will complete the drafting of the specifications in which have already taken place. The tender will be advertised in November. I think that has already been factored into. And configuration of this will start in December, on the 9th of December this year. And then the system will be completed by March next year on the 5th. Now, the other concern that the AG has raised was the opening account receivable and balance. That included in the opening accounts and receivables and accounts payable balance, as it shows in the note 12 of, it is also indicated in the annual report, note 12 and note 15 to the financial statement, are spectrum license letters and corresponding another payable of 24 million. Which the auditor was unable to obtain adequate appropriate audit evidence and perform alternative audit procedure that they could consider an effort to satisfy the work of the AG. Now, these are the rationale for that particular finding, to say that the auditors did not get enough time to audit the opening balances because the data transfer process from the TechSound system to the JD Edo system was finalized towards the end of the financial year. In fact, it was after the books have already been closed. There was also delays in as far as delays also be attributed to the volume of data being higher than anticipated, and the fact that spectrum database had to be cleaned up in order to ensure that all the reporting requirements are met. Also, we had challenges in as far as our survey is concerned to handle the volume of data, and the system was continuously crashing. The auditors were also satisfied with the closing balance, but moving forward, the spectrum system won't be an issue because the closing balance was unqualified at that time. Phase 2 of the contract management project will be completed in November, the 12th of November this year. On commitments, the audit finding was there was no contract management system in place for the identification and recognition of contracts, and there were no satisfactory alternative audit procedures that the auditor could perform to obtain a reasonable assurance that all commitments were properly recorded. The problem area was the lack of an updated registry to the divisions within the supply chain manager did not inform, there was no sort of mechanism of the manager responding to the services of project that were in progress, and the register was not updated. So it basically means that some of the processes are not talking to each other. Now, on the qualified opinion, again, the action there was to say that supply chain, the supply chain manager and the accounts payable be updated so that the register is within the treasury regulations and so forth. So that will be done on a monthly basis. The register has also been reviewed by the supply chain so that we are meeting that particular or addressing that particular finding. Now, our long-term action is to say that the contract management that is currently being developed for accounts receivable will be extended to the supply chain section. And the customization of the contract management will also be completed by next year in March. It has already been completed. On emphasis of matter, which is also another area which we do not really take lightly, there were findings in as far as the regular expenditure is concerned. And as it goes in the annual report, you will see that note 10, the financial statement, indicates irregular expenditure to the amount of 271,000, and in 2009 for 425,000. Which was incurred because of proper procurement procedures were not adhered to. The action that we have taken on that was that in as far as supply chain, there was a degree of also looking at the capacity of the officials in that particular area, and perhaps ensure that there's enough training and development that takes place so that people are able to diligently deal with issues of this nature to avoid an unnecessary body finding. And also to other action that has been taken was to formulate policy on irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The third intervention was the supply chain management policy must be updated to close the policy gap that resulted in unnecessary irregular expenditure. And then, obviously, in terms of the National Treasury regulations, there are procedures in place, or there is a guideline that says that if somebody has violated the National Treasury regulations, in as far as this is concerned, there are measures of addressing that particular problem. Fruitless expenditure, as disclosed in the annual report, note 10, the amount was 2,487, and then in 2009 was 39,040,000, which was incurred also due to several instances where expenditure was made in vain. In other words, people were just spending without necessarily paying attention to being frugal. Now, the actions that we have taken is that the unreasonable payment terms were renegotiated with the suppliers, and then supply chain, again, the issue of training comes in. So this is basically a similar action that we have taken with the previous finding. Restatement of corresponding figures, deferred income, previously a gap statement on government grants of use. Now, all the amounts spent on capex were deferred over the period of use of the assets. The fair value of assets, that is, the assets that were recorded at nil book value because these assets did not have historical cost, most of the assets concerned were acquired before the merger of SATRA and IBA, and there were no records available for these assets. But the accounting firm was requested to assign fair value to this particular asset. The statement of corresponding figures as disclosed in note 3 and 4 of the financial statement, corresponding figures for the year ended in March have been restated as a result of errors that were discovered during the year and 31st of March 2010 in the financial statement of the income. And for the year end, which was in the previous financial year. Now, The startup fund was created in and around 2002 when SATRA and IBA were merged, and this amount has always been reported as part of the reserve. So it was one of the historical problems that was still prevalent. And in terms of action, the process is considered to close now, and the review of the residual values exercise will be conducted earlier in the year and in order to ensure that the project is completed with a set deadline. Compliance with the rules and regulations, we have not complied in terms of paying suppliers within the 30-day stipulated National Treasury regulations, Again, the background around that was that the supply, there's also supply chain not notifying the relevant authorizers about orders or invoices in terms of making sure that the invoices are paid on time. And again, the JDP system, what happens is it will send out automatic emails in terms of notification for all orders that are being awaiting for approval. So if the authorizer does not approve on time, it then puts up the red again. But again, those are areas that we are saying that we will ensure that in the before the financial year, and we will have addressed those particular issues. In terms of compliance with rules and regulations, the problem areas was again, some of the authorizers still do not approve on time, and this leads to late payment of supply. We are actually taking some action in as far as that is concerned. Suspense account. Contrary to the Treasury Rules 17, the authority utilized a revenue suspense account and did not implement adequate controls to clear the items on a monthly basis. So that's a finding that has been made, and we are basically saying we are putting measures in making sure that the suspense account is cleared on a monthly basis. In as far as daily bank reconciliation, again, contrary to the Treasury regulations, the management did not prepare daily bank reconciliation for any of their bank accounts. And the background there was that bank reconciliation was not prepared on a monthly basis and reviewed by the senior management. So the corrective action that we have taken is to make sure that those bank reconciliations are being done in accordance to the rules. Internal controls. We are saying actions are not taken, the finding of that actions are not taken in a timely manner to address the risk related to the achievement of complete and accurate financial reporting. Now, the action that we have put in place was what orders will be closed at the end of February to ensure that all commitments that were made and approval are in a control. Also, the awarding of this will be closed in January to ensure that the approval and commitments are controlled. Accruals on commitments will be requested directly from suppliers by the first week of March. And in terms of Public Finance Management Act, compliance will be reviewed on a quarterly basis. And again, because of this new regime of graphs, we will have to make sure that there is adequate training provided in that particular field. In 2010-11 financial performance up to the 30th of September this year, ICASA's year-to-date approval of expenses, including depreciation, were 130 million at the end of September. This is less than the year-to-date budget of 133 million, which is about 2%. Now, the financials of the year-to-date budget vis-a-vis the half-yearly actual, I think not going into details, but the members will see that there are areas that may be of concern, and I think we will be able to address those issues during question and answer period. This is another slide. I don't think we may want to go into details. This is our performance in terms of our half-yearly, in terms of sector, the revenue, and broadcasting, and the graphs are quite clear where in terms of sector, who is the main contributor in terms of our revenue, and also in the case of broadcasting. In the postal service and also spectrum, it's quite clear where the income is being generated or revenue is being generated. In terms of the NRF financial performance, again, we can say the broadcasting revenue decreased because the broadcasters are now paying after 6 months of the financial year. Telecoms, the revenue reduced drastically because of the change in the license fee. That is, previously the revenue was between 1 to 5% of the net profit operating income, and it has now been changed to 1.5% of the gross profit. With respect to frequency, the revenue has increased because of the new entrants I think I've already covered that particular area in my opening remarks. Now, moving on to the management of income, expenditure, transfer, and cash. As I said, there is a detailed report that we have provided to you, so members can have a look at that. If there are any issues, we will be able to respond to those particular issues. Finance performance in terms of managing of grants from the Department of Communication. The authority was allocated 290 million for the current financial year. Funds are requested from the department in tranches on a quarterly basis, subject to initial cash flow projections submitted to the department at the beginning of the financial year. Quarterly spending forecast is submitted to the department on the 15th of the first month for the previous quarter, and transfer from DOC are received towards the end of the first month of the new quarter. At the end of the quarter, forecast versus actual spend report is submitted to the DOC in order to account for both over and under spending, where necessary corrective measures will obviously be taken to bring spending under control when you highlight that. Monthly management reports are being prepared. Moving along, managing our transfer, the authority issues license for regulated activities, and license are billed for application fees as well as license fees. Fees collected are paid over to the NRF through the Department of Communication on a monthly basis. The funds to licenses are done within 7 days after appropriate authorizations have been obtained. In terms of managing cash, all excess cash is invested for a limited period of time with any of the ICASA's approved financial institutions based on our cash flow projection. And all interest earned from these short-term investment activities is used by the authority to fund its unfunded capex and operational needs. In terms of managing our fixed assets, a need analysis from our divisions are presented to the executive and submitted later to the council for budget review. And then we can also say that divisions can only commence with the acquisition of fixed assets once the final budget has been agreed upon by the council. And seeking to purchase fixed assets have to submit their request to the supply chain unit and the supply chain unit contract with the service provider. So this is just a snapshot of how we manage our fixed assets. I will not really elaborate a lot on it. Again, on the managing of our fixed assets, depending on which asset class the asset belongs to, they are also assigned useful lives and residual value. And assessment of residual value is also performed on an annual basis where material, new residual values are assigned to each asset in each asset class. Items are identified as obsolete and are disposed of once all necessary approvals have been obtained. Financial systems. Currently, the systems that are in place within finance, we have systems or tools, five areas, that is the JD, Edwards, VIP, Spectrum System, Multi-Pack Tool, Budget Tool, Fixed Asset Location Tool. Those are the systems or tools that we are using, and they talk to, the first one is on the ERP system, and the scope is primarily around the general ledger, supply chain management, accounts payable, and all that. So this slide is basically demonstrating what systems are in place and what sort of role or what are they used for in order to have a very sound control financial environment in the authority. New system development during the 2010-11 configuration of contract management model in the JDC system in order to enable the integration of the contract management model with procurement module. This will inform at least the authority on work in progress, milestone achieved to date, how much needs to be paid to the service provider based on the terms of the contract. So it will be sort of like a dashboard that the authority will be able to use to monitor this environment. Spectrum database migration to the JDE therefore will allow also the billing to take place within the JDE system. Costing system that is activity-based costing, this will inform stakeholders to know how much it really costs to run the authority. Upgrade of fixed asset database from MS Access platform to SQL and further integration to the JDE fixed asset register. Currently, contracts are sitting outside the JDE system, and it is extremely difficult for us to manage contract performance. That is the problem area, but the solution is that we'll obviously have a contract management model that will obviously talk to the JDE system, and that will be addressed in order, I mean, that will be implemented in order to address the weaknesses. In terms of the spectrum data currently, that is also outside the JDE, which also creates potential challenges. We have resolved that we will ensure that the accounts receivable on the JDE system is customized in such a way that the whole issues pertaining to spectrum data is being addressed. With respect to the VIP payroll system, which is also not necessarily talking to the JDE, the resolution is that we will look into acquiring an Oracle middleware fusion to enable the interface between the VIP system and the JDE system. ICASA currently does not have an automated reporting tool for monthly reporting and annual reporting. And most of the systems created internally are quite cumbersome. So these are just some of the problem areas that we're saying are there, but there are mechanisms of addressing, we are formulating mechanisms of addressing those particular shortcomings. Now, CAPEX 2009-10, this is basically a slide that demonstrates what were the category of assets, the budget that was allocated, and what was the variance. I know members of the committee may want to know why some of the variance were negative, but I think when it comes to question and answer, we'll be able to provide a reasonable response to that. This is just a continuation of CAPEX here today, that is September, to the budget 2010, and you will also probably have concern about full year budget where there are zero figures, and then we have incurred the cost in as far as that is concerned. So we will obviously elaborate on those particular issues even when they have been raised. This is just the MTF requirement, which is a standard requirement that we will not necessarily go into details with, but we'll take questions. Now, coming to the alignment of government policies, obviously we have to make sure that the authority, in terms of aligning itself to the government policies, an analysis of the impact of the public broadband policy on the sector is underway, and that is also to say, are we really aligning the authority to those needs of government? And the issue of corporate governance has also been elevated in terms of the King 3 report. We are also saying there are austerity measures in as far as making sure that we have a very controlled environment around our finances and also a controlled environment of us being frugal in our expenditure. And with respect to the frequency challenges, we are saying we are now drafting a frequency policy directive for consideration. The 2010-11 strategic goals and objectives, these were the following strategic goals that will drive the direction of ICASA for the next 5 years. That is the liberalization and promotion of competition in the ICT, monitor, adjudicate, and enforce compliance with regulations and the law, promote universal service and socio-economic development. The last but one is improve productivity and service delivery and promote international cooperation. Now, making better use of technology, we are basically trying to demonstrate how, in terms of spectrum management, how can we make better use of technology. And in this regard, we're saying currently the spectrum assignment and coordinate is done manually. There is no link with administrative tasks, so it becomes very impossible to do certain assignments. The benefit of the state of the art spectrum management system as follows. We'll be able to automate technical analysis and coordination tasks, reducing the turnaround by tenfold, and enable coordination of digital spectrum as an enhanced efficient use of spectrum. We'll combine administrative tasks, technical analysis, coordination of tasks, and financial and approval process, thereby improving transparency and reliability. Also, we'll enable web interface by spectrum users to support online application and to analyze spectrum usage, thereby increasing transparency and streamlining application process. We'll facilitate updates of advanced models to enable proper spectrum planning. We'll enable direct and online access to spectrum monitoring, results of frequency planning and licensing. We'll facilitate implementation of new spectrum fees, and the other point is that benefits leading to much needed efficient spectrum management organization. Now, this is just an outline of the elements of a spectrum management system. So you can see they talk to each other in terms of if we want to make sure our numbering, radio frequency planning, technical analysis, all those that are being addressed properly, we need a spectrum management database that is solid and reliable. Customer relation management system, we are saying repository for licenses, profiles, enable easy access to information, consolidate databases for different applications, managing license, service license, spectrum license, type approval, complaints, and financial management. Make also call center efficient. State-of-the-art broadcasting monitoring system that is enable automatic and retrieval of broadcasting content to assist enforcement. Again, IT made significant investment in new server, storage, and backup devices to say how do we better use technology. The ICASA email system also has changed from Novell to Microsoft. This is also to ensure system stability and reliability and the ability for email access anywhere, anytime. Now, we also said, perhaps let's share what is the state of our strategic regulatory project, and this is just work in progress to demonstrate to the members of the portfolio committee and also the chair that within specific divisions, there are strategic regulatory projects, and they have been assigned to each and every council member, and the last column basically indicates what progress has been made in the first those projects are concerned. This is just a continuation of that. We will not elaborate a lot, we will take on the question. Now, this is probably the last slide in our summary to say that the road ahead in terms of our short term is to say, and this is an area we are still going to debate within council, because we have a strategic session with the ICASA Council and management, to say there is a need in terms of turning the image of ICASA into a positive direction. There's a need to have an honest conversation around corporate governance issues. Two is also to debate and agree what are the roles in terms of the governance structures within ICASA. And then the third one is to ensure that there is harmonization between the head office and its region, so that we are talking or thinking from the same hymn book. The fourth one is to develop a metric on the Auditor General's report. In this case, obviously, we engage the Auditor General and National Treasury on our audit or management letter, and then we develop a metric that indicates how we are going to systematically deal with some of the issues that were raised by the Auditor General. The last one on this particular short-term intervention is to say that we want to elevate the regulator to a level where it is a learning institute that promotes thought leadership. In terms of medium-term intervention, we have identified two areas. One is to say that we ask the question whether does the authority have the necessary instrument to ensure that the authorities credibility and it being an effective regulator to transform South Africa? Do we have the necessary instruments? We need to debate what sort of instrument we will require. And I can share with the members that we are quite lacking in terms of inspectors, the technical expertise or competencies that are required, that is also in the area of monitoring and compliance. So those are some of the areas that we obviously have to revisit and say what sort of instrument do we need to make sure that we meet that particular mandate. In terms of the medium-term intervention, we have formulated a human capital development strategy that basically looks at specific core competencies in relation to the role of the inspectors, compliance, and other technical competencies, and then see how we can elevate those particular competencies to be able to meet the demand of the sector, correspond to the demand of the sector. Long term, we are saying, and again, this is a song I'll probably sing for the next 3 years, that we have to ramp up funding for ICASA. The amount of money that we receive based on the revenue is not really adequate for us to cover the entire country in terms of the mandate and also our strategic objective. Again, long term, we want to enhance the strategy on allocation of frequency spectrum so that we are able to support our development goals. Third is to position ICASA to occupy a strategic space in the SADC region. As a regulator. And lastly, to intensify ICASA's role in the international arena. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I can see your strategy was to make sure that by the time you finish, the members are exhausted. And I've already started to lose some of the members one by one. But members, before we take questions, maybe let us analyze the issue of the report. Because the report is here, so that we enter the questions. Then later we'll take the progress on the contamination and so on after the questions. Progress report of the Portfolio Committee on Communications on the process followed on recommending a person for appointment to the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, ICASA, dated the 9th of November 2010. The Portfolio Committee on Communications, having considered the nominations of candidates submitted for appointment to serve on the ICASA Council in terms of the ICASA Act 13 of 2000 as amended, report as follows. Request from the Minister of Communications to fill a vacancy at ICASA was referred to the Portfolio Committee on Communications on the 4th of November 2010. ATC dated the 5th of November 2010. The committee called for nomination and received 24 CVs. The committee subsequently shortlisted the following candidates. 1. Dr. Marsha Sosikwa. 2. Ms. Kathy Bemer. 3. Dr. Seth Hasivan Peruman. 4. Ms. Nomonde Pell Bonaga. 5. Mr. Conwell Ishmael Dutz. The interviews are scheduled for the 25th of November 2010. That is a short statement and the report. Do we agree? Thanks very much. Members, please, outside, if you can break us for 10 minutes to press our leg. I'm sure convention is tired by now. Then we'll go for the question on the council. ICASA, are you ready to note your question? We're not going to repeat it for you. Advocate Ilane Sebe, Honorable Magazi, Master, Honorable Kile.
Chair, thank you. I want to thank ICASA for their report. It was very detailed. Unfortunately, of course, we only received it now at the end of the input. Now, I don't know who's to blame for that, the committee section or ICASA. If it's a committee section, we must kick Tembi very hard under his bum. If it's ICASA, we must kick ICASA very hard. I don't know who it is, but whoever it is, it's not good. I mean, if you want us to follow you giving a long, detailed input, and you don't have the written document in front of us, you're really undermining yourself. And as I said, if it's the committee that made the mistake, then the committee should get a good kick under the you-know-what. Having said that, I want to say that, you know, a year ago when we started engaging with ICASA, it was very clear that there were huge problems. And I was under the impression, and my colleague can speak for himself, but towards the end, I thought things were getting better, and I thought we were on an upward curve. Now, the most of your report, I want to say, makes me happy because it seems that we still on the upward curve. So I want to congratulate you for that, and I would want to ask some questions about it, but I first want to raise one issue. I'm particularly happy with the issues you've addressed, and particularly the turnaround strategy. Although I have a nagging feeling, and you can prove me incorrect, that I detect a Capetonian attitude amongst ICASA. You know, Capetonians are very laid back, and time is not of the essence. We, for example, don't work on Friday afternoons. You're lucky to get up to work on a Monday morning. Now, I'm very worried that ICASA comes from Joburg, and you seem to have a Cape Town attitude. It seems that your time issues and your sense of haste is not very well pronounced and prioritized in your report. So although I'm saying that I think the curve is upwards, I think we must put a bit of flame and a bit of speed under our backsides. ICASA has been in a difficult position for too long for us to go on for another year waiting for things to come right, although things are on an upward curve. So I wanted to say that as a rider to what I was saying, because I really feel that we need to get this industry, which is vital to our economy, to work properly. And you cannot blame the private sector. There's a lot of things you can blame the private. I particularly blame the private sector for a lot of things. But you can't blame them if we're not moving fast enough with our regulatory framework, with our policies, with all those things. That they aren't doing things to get this economy to move faster. So you have to realize that where ICASA sits, ICASA is one of the engine rooms, or the unlocking of the engine room of our economy, at least in the IT sector. So we need some speed in these things. Now, having said the positive things, I now want to turn to what really perturbs me. I must say that the financial part of the report is, I probably shouldn't be shocked, because knowing what ICASA went through, you should have expected that there's going to be this report on its finances. What worries me is that now that we know what the problems are, even if you look at this report, if you read from page 108 right through to 41 that I've been doing while you were talking, it is very clear that instead of accepting responsibility, we seem to want to move responsibility elsewhere. Now, I want to say to you that the financial report is a severe indictment on the competency and the whole performance of the financial part of ICASA. That's the CEO, the CFO, the CAE, whatever that is. I've never heard of the CAE, but I see that they also, yeah? Huh? No, CAE. The something audit executive. Chief audit executive. I don't know what that is, but whatever it is. And it's a serious indictment on the leadership and the performance of the previous council. You can't just turn around and say the CEO's fault. it's a CFO fault. Of course, they are the functionaries that are involved there. But I mean, ultimately, who do we call to account? We call this council to account. It's the councillors that come and sit here. No use then appointing to others. What makes it even worse, here on page, is this audit committee. Here, man, you can't believe these people. Whoever Sandile Swana is. He says, this is his report. The Auditor General never placed any reliance on the work done by the internal audit. The Auditor General paid no reliance on what we did as a unit. And the internal audit unit rated its own success at 30%. So it rated at 30%, the Auditor General doesn't use it. Then they go and blame everyone else except themselves. They say, in fact, we are very qualified. I've never read something like this. The Audit and Risk Committee is comprised of well-qualified, hard-working and experienced people. But it is made irrelevant by the structure. I mean, this is fascinating stuff. Clearly, the Internal Audit Committee is seriously deficient. It lacks, it firstly suffers of grandeur, of its own ability, and then seriously lacks competence. Now, the point is, this report came out on the 31st of July. You would have known it before the 31st of July because while they're auditing, they talk to you about these things. But let's say you've known this since the 31st of July. It's now 3 months later. And the best that you can come and suggest to us here is that all these systems that they need, you're only going to put them in place in March next year. It's a serious indictment of the seriousness with which you should be viewing this. You know, if it was me, I'm a funny chap. If it was me then, that council, and I knew this 3 months ago, I would never come to this committee without these structures being in place. I would have let people work through the night, 24 hours a day, to put these things in place. So I can come and report to this parliament that these mistakes are. You know what you're suggesting to us? Can you just think about it for a minute? This audit that was done till March this year. It's a new year audit from April next to next March. So if you tell me you're going to put the systems in next March, it means that what you're telling us is that we're going to get the Auditor General's report with all the same problems that are there now. A whole year later, we're going to get a report just saying everything is the same. The same problems are there. Because you're telling me you're only going to fix it up in March next year. I would expect, if you didn't do it by now, that you will not go on holiday in December until these systems are in place. You see, my problem is, this is not a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a genius to put these things in place. Of course, it puts a great indictment why it wasn't in place. But look at this. A system of control over the recording of outstanding invoices. How difficult can that be? Every single entity that exists has got a system of recording outstanding invoices. I mean, I'm sure that within a month you can put that in place. The next one, the spectrum. We have considered necessary to satisfy ourselves. There is no audit evidence to show that the existence and the evaluation of the opening spectrum account. How long can it take to do that? I mean, it's not rocket science. If you can't do it yourself, you buy an auditor to come in to put the system in place. It'll take 1 month, 1 week. I mean, the next one, there was no contract management system, and therefore we can't verify 14 million rand. We cannot verify it. The new council, you're not to blame for this, but you're telling me that you're happy to wait till March next year to put these things in place. There's a serious problem with that attitude. It's a real Capetonian attitude. If it was me, then you can blame me because I live here. But not a serious organization that is the heart of economic growth in the IT sector. You cannot let people... How does the industry respect you? How does the industry respect you if they know that your books are in this state and you are going to have it in this state for another year? There's a serious problem with this approach. I know what you're doing. Oh, well, let's try and get it in place and let's not make promises. You know, this kind of thing is not a question of making promises. This has got to do with pride and with integrity. You want to get your house in order. The problem is, even as you've done today, you give us the best plans of where you're going. If your financial house is not in order, then all that comes to naught. Because next year, we're not going to say to you, oh, you've done well. We're just going to fight with you because of your financial situation. Because that is one of the biggest things we're going to do in Parliament. Is to make sure that the money that you are given and the money that you're collecting, that it's not being wasted. And it's not going to the wrong places. So, Chambers, you know, really, I want to urge you. If you look at all your priorities, to forget everything now and make this number one. And then in your own mind, that you do not go, and none of your staff go away in December, on holidays and things, until this thing is in place. And I will hope and I will suggest to the committee that we want a report, a full report, before the end of December this year, where all these things are put in place. So that at least when the Auditor General comes to you next year, you don't say, well, we put things in place in March, and now you've got no time to assess whether they're working. At least if it's December, we'll have 3 months to see that those systems are working. At least the next report that we're going to get from the Auditor General is not going to say the position is exactly as it was a year ago. Nothing has changed, not a single thing has changed. So, I must say, you know, for me, whatever good you do, everything gets negated by the fact that this thing is not sorted out and a proper timeline is not given to us. Please, Matthew Carter, you're on an upward curve. This has to be part of the upward curve and has to pull you even further ahead on the upward curve. So, although I'm criticizing you on this very strongly, I'm not trying to negate the good that's being done. But I want to say to you, at the end of the day, that good is going to be negated, not because I say so, but because you have not got your financial house in order, where you can show in a very clear way to the industry that has to respect you and your decisions, and to this parliament that has to oversee and respect your workings and your integrity. So I would make those proposals, Chair, that whatever the committee wants to put a timeline on it, but that we need to, within a very short period of time, get a full report that these things have been done. It cannot wait another 4 or 5 months.
Okay, sir. If Kafa put down the question, you'll respond.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. I was saying advocate survey. Thank you, Chair. You know, when we started this meeting, I was a little bit confused. Because, obviously, I share most of the things Honorable Dilani has said. I don't know if it was a matter of deliberate, it was just an innocent mistake. I think in front of us, there are almost 30 documents from ICASA. Now, when you went to deal with the report of ICASA, you don't know which document is relevant. At a later stage, we received what is called a summarized version of the annual report. But to me, listening to the new CEO, it's a summary that has been well edited and included many things. I think it's intentional. Because most of the things that Comrade Joel is raising are reflected on the annual report. But the manner in which most of the things are captured in this summarized version is as if all is fine, all is well. This is what I'm saying. I'm not sure if this certain document was done deliberately to confuse us. But my issues will mainly focus on the annual report that I have in front of me. But according to this annual report, it clearly shows that the state of finances of ICASA is depressing, or the manner in which we deal with our issues with regard to finance is depressing. If I remember correctly, we once did oversight visit to ICASA offices, some issues were raised. One of the issues that the chairperson has already highlighted, of which I want to commend the ICASA for that, is the issue of the organogram. They have gone through it, has been revised. But other issues that were raised was the issues of the management and the executive relationship, the capacity, level of capacity and skills, and the dysfunctionality of the entity itself. But going back to this report, you will see that all the things that were raised during that time are not yet addressed. That is why we have this kind of a problem. Because you go through your annual report, everything is referred to the CFO or the CEO. Everything is bad because of them. But the question is, what did you do to correct the situation before the Auditor General comes in? What did you do to correct that? And on page 8 of the annual report, you see the former chief executive officer didn't sign the annual report. Maybe if we can also be told why he didn't sign the annual report, what do we do going forward? Is it legally by the way signed it if he didn't sign it? And on other issues, on page 155, it's just a matter of further clarity in regards to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I hear the CEO did try to touch some of the issues. I don't want to repeat what is written here, but I wanted to be short. But in regards to the first stage cost, the payroll cost, and the equipment cost, that's why I want the further clarity. Because when I was listening to the CEO, he was repeating exactly what the Auditor General said in his report regarding the issues. So maybe further clarification on these issues without me repeating exactly what is written here in respect of time. On the payroll cost, my concern is much more on the temporary staff that was recruited, but process cost escalated to a value above 200,000 without the bid adjudication committee. What really happened? And also on note 13, fruitless wasteful expenditure in regard to the administration division supply. Also further clarity within the courier services. Those are some of the two issues that I think maybe can take us forward. Lastly, from the chair, maybe it's on page 112. Yeah, on the issue, on the leadership and governance, it stated that while the audit and risk committee is comprised of well-qualified, hard-working and experienced people, it has been rendered irrelevant by the poor performance of management and the publicly stated position of the previous chairperson that he is afraid to take disciplinary action against management in this case. I don't understand. If you say the chairperson was afraid to take a disciplinary action against a junior, or we are saying he was afraid to perform his responsibility. I don't understand. Maybe what really happened here? Just afraid, the word afraid. How that afraid? Thank you, Chair.
Makaza.
Chairperson. Chair, I just want to first of all to make a comment and commend ICASA. The way you have written your report, I think during our visit to ICASA, there were issues that we raised to the board, and when I go through some of the issues you have already implemented or we have taken care of. Secondly, the advice to ICASA in terms of finance, because there are areas I think the financial part of UCASA, the board, you need to pay attention. The way the finances, they look like now. But I also have a question. Before, let me qualify this, the issue of the board. I think the board, you have your own judiciary duties, and you are full-time counselor, and you have your executive, or the, we call it management, and the management is the one that runs operational, runs the organization in terms of operational issues. You are addressing policy issues and strategic issues. So, therefore, the board, you are the one who accounts to Parliament by the virtue of the Act. So you will need to be very hard, hands-on, to make sure that the executive management, whoever has been given or charged with the responsibility, they implement what is required. So that by the time you come back to us and appear in Parliament, at least in CASA, you have a clean page. You have moved from what you were before. It's not bad. But again, I've seen on the finances, on the Auditor General's report, you are also battling with the turnaround time to pay services that have been rendered by people that have requested, whether catering or whatever, but the turnaround time is paying, and by regulation, turnaround regulation, I think it's 30 days, you should pay. You should also look into that. I think it's important because we are also building the BEEs, so they should not suffer because of the car. The another question is page 153, section 5, on a wasteful expenditure. I just need the explanation, what is it all about? Why was this wasteful and then again, I know it has at some point you required, you wanted to move the offices where you are and relocate to somewhere else, but I think you couldn't. And I just want to get clarity on information how far you are on this one. Have you moved? If you have not moved, why did you move? Have you signed a contract? Are you making payments to that those offices that you were supposed to do? If yes or not, but I just need a clarity. But thank you very much. I think keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I think some of the issues are covered by Honorable said on the oversight of the PCC, the Portfolio Committee, which other things are not clear whether they were followed. But nevertheless, I just want to ask very simple questions here. On page 38 of this report here, what do we call it? The one that we're speaking from. The summarized version, let me say. Page 34, it's about this fruitless expenditure that appears here. Was there any disciplinary, especially on as disclosed in disclosure note 10 to the financial statement. It's on page 37, actually. Were there any disciplinary action taken against the perpetrator? And can you go to page 44? I wanted to ask you on the compliance. The actions taken, what type of action was taken, and what are the time frames? Because I think what happened here is it is a neglect of responsibility. On the same page, when you deal with compliance with the rules and regulations on the performance management, the ICASA Amendment Act stipulates that a performance agreement must be concluded between the chairperson and other councillors and the minister soon after appointment. So do you have a performance agreement for the CEO and the councillor? That's what I want to know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me also echo what the other members have said. There are these areas that Honorable Dilang has spoken about, but I think for me, some of the things that you reported on, at least they show that you do have a responsibility and you do own up for what has not been done, and your intention is to do something about it. I don't know about the Cape Townians, but I'm a Joburg. I think things will be done properly.
Thank you, Chairperson. I believe that I would like to add my voice, both in terms of making positive points with respect to certain of the problem areas identified by ICASA and propose steps to correct those serious weaknesses. But, and then I come to the but component of it. I believe that I want to share the very, very serious concerns expressed by Honorable De Lange and some of the other members. ICASA, by the nature of the beast that it is, has to engage with high-flying industries in the communication sector. You have to earn the respect of multi-billion rand operations. And unless you can demonstrate that you can manage your own financial department effectively, you will not earn the respect of the industry. That is my first comment. My second comment is, when I listened to the detailed report, my feeling was, and I made several notes on the summary, was, are you measuring the right outcomes, or are you measuring activities? My concern is that if you have more than 3,000 complaints, what is the nature of the complaints, and would that not in fact point to weaknesses in the regulations or to uncertainties in regulations? If you need to have as many workshops with consumers, is it really valuable time spent? Or should you, as a communications authority, communicate in other ways better? Because workshops are by nature expensive, it's time consuming, etc. And I just get the feeling that maybe you should go back to the drawing board to identify your outcomes in a way that you can really improve the impact that ICASA has on the communications industry. And sometimes, you know, there's a chemical process that is described, and I'm not a chemist, and therefore I can't exactly, but it is that you add a little drop of specific component which has a major impact on the broader sort of mixture. There is a terminology, and I'm running out of the word for it. But what I want to say to you is, and I echo the words of Honorable Dalanga, that the impact that you could have on South Africa, on its communications industry, on again placing us where we belong, in the developing world, but even beyond, is huge. We had the same comments to the DOC last, but I believe that you should also realize that you're sitting with a golden opportunity to really have an impact on the lives of people in rural areas and everywhere, where interconnect rates are having a major impact, where access to broadband is having a major impact, where communication via radio, etc., is so important. So are you really achieving your ultimate goal? Maybe it's just time to go and sit back again. Not too much of what you're doing, going through administrative functions and just keeping a bureaucracy running and flying here and there. So please go back to basics. Now, specifics, just on page 111 of the report. Can you please explain to us your audit and risk committee members? Who are they? I see they're not senior management members. Who are they? What are their qualifications, etc.? And I want to echo what Honorable Dalanga has said. They are actually advising us to look, having a closer look at the stewardship of finances, etc. But I think that one should also just make sure that they are the right people to also drive your processes. Okay, then on page, the next page, they're making a comment about leadership and governance, but also the Auditor General is making the same comment on that, and that is on page 117. He's making a very serious statement with regards to leadership, and he says also that actions are not taken in a timely manner to address the risks. And I think that is at the essence. Speed, as Honorable Dalanga has also said. We need speed and some sort of sense of urgency. Then I want to just go back one page, 116, and that is the material loss through criminal conduct. What has ICASA so far done? Have you reported matters? Have you taken up those matters? Have you instituted disciplinary action and reported people for criminal conduct? We cannot allow people to sit in institutions and then not be held accountable, one, but two, be tolerated when they actually flagrantly abuse their position of trust. And then my last question, Chair, I'm moving out, is just, it is also on page 141. It makes reference to related parties. Can you please explain to us what is meant by related parties include instances where ICASA directly or indirectly through one or more intermediaries control or are controlled by the reporting entity? What does that essentially mean to us? Does it mean that people who are sitting in positions of influence are being controlled externally or are being receiving payments? Because if you are aware of it, what are you doing about it and how are you going to uproot fraud and corruption in the organization and in the body of ICASA? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Financial worries have been brought up, and I'm not going to rehash them. But I hear what Mr. Dalanga is saying, and maybe just for the House, Mr. Dalanga, the reason they call Cape Town the mother city is because everything takes 9 months. So it's true that Cape Town has a very laid-back attitude. But I'm from Gauteng, so I like things done quickly. Yeah, well run, absolutely. Just a few things that worry me, and please understand that I also don't like getting reports that I have to read in here because then I lose my place with it. But something is mentioned about when you do your monthly payroll system, and that there was a problem with that, and you're now looking at moving over to, I think it's Oracle, you said in the thing. Why are you only looking at these solutions and not actually deciding on what solution? Because you can't put in a document that you bring to us while we are exercising our oversight role and tell us, well, maybe it will happen, maybe it won't. We actually need to know that you're going to do these things. So, you know, that's very important. Ideas are great, but we don't want to know what your ideas are. We want to know what your solutions are. That's the biggest issue when you bring things to us for oversight. The suspense account, for example, on page 44 of the document that was handed to us while we were sitting here. It says, contrary to the requirements of TR 17, the authority didn't utilize the revenue suspense account and did not implement adequate control. I mean, you know, these are pretty fundamental business principles, you know. And are people now being trained so that they know what to do? Because, you know, sometimes people are employed and they have excellent qualifications, but they actually don't know how they should be running a certain department. So what kind of training are you putting in place to make sure that these, because these are, they're silly mistakes that shouldn't be happening, to make sure that these kind of mistakes aren't happening. And Chair, I don't want to harp on all the financial stuff, but what I do want to ask about is, and I mention this all the time, not only to ICASA, to everyone that we deal with, my colleague and I receive complaints from the public all the time. And one of the biggest complaints that we receive is the amount of time it takes for any complaint that's submitted to ICASA to be responded to. Now, I like the fact that you have it in here that you will receive, record, and acknowledge complaints in 48 hours. And then you also say that you will resolve these complaints within 30 working days. I can tell you that's not happening. And it creates a huge amount of frustration to the general public that these complaints are not being answered. So, you know, what action have you got in place? Are there training courses people are going on? Because it looks very nice on paper, but what's on paper and what's happening practically are two different things. And then that just takes away your credibility, you know, when you fall short on these kind of things. And then, Chair, just a question for clarity. 3 years ago, 3K TV licenses were issued, and they weren't utilized, they fell short. What's happening to these TV licenses? Because I don't see anywhere in these annual reports that these TV licenses were reassigned or any action was taken for the non-usage of them. So could we just have some kind of explanation as to what's happening there?
Well, thank you, Chairperson. I have a few questions. My first question is in relation to television access. The last time a deaf person sat on the advisory committee for people with disabilities, it was in 2005-2006. At that time, they discussed deaf people's access to television for captioning and having sign language interpreters. Cell phones, toll-free numbers, SMS numbers to different places where people can have access to toll-free numbers by sending an SMS. I just received an SMS. It seems like that advisory committee is dormant and nothing is happening. And research and access to the communication sector, broadcasting, people with disabilities, there's no research. And then research is done, and then there's no implementation. And for the universal access obligations, but when are they going to implement this? I would like to see the document. The review of that document, it says in the report it has been finalized, but when are they going to be, when is this going to be implemented? How long are we going to wait for our access? And recently we visited London and Brazil. There are captioning on that television, and they said it already happened on an analog system. But I was told by the SABC that they're waiting for the digital migration to happen. Will this ever happen in South Africa? What is ICASA doing? The British, the television or their regulator, there's a deaf person on the advisory committee, and that's how it, where they have to be making progress. So many things have been lapsing by CASA. You're making partnership with disability organizations. What does that partnership mean? When is the implementation going to happen? And in the annual report, it states that you will be protecting children in the cyber space. What does it mean? Here we see children are being affected by SMS, Mixit, internet, children pornography is still happening. And what is ICASA doing to protect our children? And my last question is relating to Youth Day. And you admitted in your annual report that the schools do not have internet facilities. And this IT skills will remain a problem. We've been hearing this with every presentation. The Naledi schools do not have access, and we've still been hearing that the people do not have IT skills and they do not have access. When is this going to be finalized? And it should not be a recurring matter. We need finalization on this. We do not want to hear that you have coordination problems, and I think these matters need to be addressed. Thank you.
The only problem is that I had time to allocate for members and didn't raise your hand. You only raised your hand towards the end of that time, so it was short time than the other two.
I have raised my hand. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for ICASA for the couple of words. And I just want to make a general opinion or whatever you call it, statement. Now, I've got an idea, since I arrived here in Parliament, the big problem with state entities, in general, and the state entities we are dealing with in this committee, I think it's an attitude problem. I don't think the entities really take Parliament serious. And if an entity don't take Parliament serious, you're not even taking the people of South Africa serious. It's an insult to the people of South Africa. I'm absolutely honest with you like that. And my problem is repeating the same mistakes. We're not seeing progress. Mistakes from last year sort of carried over, rolled over to the next year. And I can promise you, we will hear the same things next year. The same problems will occur. This ICASA is running for a couple of years now. And they are experienced people in ICASA. Will you tell me for one moment that they don't know how to run ICASA properly? I'm sure they can. If you're a financial guy or girl, you know exactly if you run finances in ICASA or in a private company, or wherever for that matter, you run it the same way. There's one way, and that's the correct way. So I can't understand that. For instance, what my colleague, Honorable Michael, said, you know, a very prominent person in the ICT world, I'm not going to name, that person said to me, he's phoning ICASA for 4 weeks now. The licensing and the regulatory department, I'm not sure how it's been named. But for 4 weeks, he's leaving messages on that phone. Nobody's coming back to him. Not even recognizing, you know, that he phoned. That's ridiculous. And we were talking about trust in the industry. You must deserve trust in the industry. For handling important people in the communications world like that, how is the ordinary person feel when dealing with ICASA? Then all the lawsuits where ICASA is involved with, is it because of mistakes ICASA make? Because if this trend is going to carry on, it will be a huge problem. Is there concern inside ICASA about the fact that the broadcasting standard in this whole DTT is not officially announced by government? Is that a problem? And yeah, you've mentioned the DTT, and we all know the whole DTT thing will be a huge thing in South Africa, and I hope everything is on track. Thank you.
Thank you. Ricardo, you had 1 hour, 35 minutes to do your presentation. That was too much time for members to listen. Members only had 30 minutes to ask their question. So on your response, don't respond on comments, respond on questions. So that we are precise and we take the last presentation before.
Honorable members, your points are extremely well taken. I consider all our honorable members, what they have said, to be constructive criticism. And this I will certainly factor in my report and in our activities, so that it shouldn't be a report that will remain archived somewhere. It is something that we have to be put into action, because your questions all call for immediate, you know, action to what you have just said. I do regard that the tyranny of time in ICASA was lagging. Even this whole area of flux times, when I first came in, you go to a department, you ask who is occupying that desk, they don't know. You go to another place, you found, you know, that similar problem occurring. So the sense of time and urgency of doing things was slightly on a slow motion. But I would invite our honorable people to come to ICASA now and then see for yourself. Be a participant observer again and observe unobtrusively how we are trying to progress and improve that part. Another point that I just want to point out very quickly is that the interregnum in ICASA was poorly managed. When I first stepped into this chair, the previous chair did not even leave an exit report to say that these are the degree of difficulties that one has to encounter. So, as a fish in a pond, you had to simply use your own ingenuity to try and stabilize, you know, these things. And I must say that the cooperation I received from the CEO and the councillors in general was just amazing. Without that, I think we would be even bent more than all these questions that you have evinced in no strict order. Yes, indeed, honorable colleagues, the financial aspect of any organization is the backbone of that organization. You can have all these beautiful phrases and rhetorics, but if your finance is not commensurate to the kinds of things you are doing, then it falls short. And I do think that having worked in both parastatal and private business,
I do know that most of us would be fired if we were in private business when it comes to managing that finance. And now, with this new setting that we are trying to do, is to really rectify that. And I can say unequivocally that we have started already to do that. The first thing was the role definition. The audit people, the internal audit, the CFO and the CAA and the CEO, to be exact, their roles were somewhat conflicting. They were ill-defined. We did have a very good workshop, and I think that part has now been rectified. And having rectified that, I think we can now move expeditiously to make sure that the financial element is better managed than before. What I liked about ICASA is that there were no really wrongdoing in terms of managing the finance. It's just that it was done in a very awkward way. And this you would expect when you don't have automated system, you know, put in place in an organization. And now what made everything to appear so slow, honorable people, that moving from manual systems to automated systems. And as a librarian, I know that when we were automating the Library of Congress, at first it looked very slowly, but it had to be slow because you want to get good information. If you put bad information, the outcome will be bad information. So please bear with us on this one. We are moving from rectifying the information, making sure that the information is absolutely correct, so that when we move to the automated system and we have identified the vendors and the process is really given the highest priority in our organization. I thank you, Honorable Lange, to have started this chorus, and I can see that the honorable members are singing in the same hymn. So we also want to join with you and say we are making this the main orchestration of our lives in re-engineering ICASA. So we really appreciate that. The auditor people came to ask to see me, and I did grant them the opportunity to address the whole of council. And indeed, to err is human, but one has to swallow his or her pride to say that here I was wrong, now I will start to go to do things, you know, differently. And this is what we like about our CFO. We scolded him and we told him that many things were going wrong. And we are willing to work with you because our country is at a developmental stage. We do always talk about the scarcity of resources. Those who have resources, they know, who are trained by our money, our tax money, they run to Australia and elsewhere. So we must always nurture the little talent that we have in our country so that developmental elements must come out more. That is why when I was employed to this seat as a person who has reached the August of his life, my
we've got only 10 minutes to answer all the questions.
Oh, okay.
Good. If you keep on making statements, yeah, not go to questions,
okay,
we're not going to finish. Your point
is highly well taken. Now, to be more specific, I will then give it to my colleague to answer very specific question. I was trying to sort of summarize all the answers.
Thank you, Chair and the Honourable Member. I'm going to first indicate in terms of the addressing the all issues pertaining to the audit matter. We take the point that we will submit a report in relation to those issues to the Members of Parliament by end of December. So some of the issues that may have been raised and have not been adequately addressed, the report will ensure that we answer that. But there are some where we can be able to provide quickly answers. I'll ask the CFO to deal with those that are related to fruitless expenditure, the payroll cost, technical equipment, and so forth. And the issue pertaining to the road clarification, I think the chairperson has talked about how we are going to go forward. In terms of the payment within 30 days, I think so far when we did the analysis, we are able to confirm that at least of the invoices that we are receiving, we are meeting about 83% of resolving paying creditor, I mean the service providers on time. But again, we will reflect that on the report that we are going to present. In terms of the movement of the head office, the question was, have we moved? No, the answer is no, we have not moved. We have renewed our current lease until the end of October, and we have a project plan to make sure that the movement of our new head office takes place before the expiry of the lease agreement that we have entered. And the disciplinary action, I think the CFO will be able to address that. And then on the performance agreement between the chair and the councillors and myself, I think that is a process that is unfolding since we have joined, that we have to agree to measurable indicators so that we do not, in terms of our KRA, what is expected from the chair or the authority. So that is a process that is going to be unfolding very soon. And then in terms of the workshops, we have looked at the in terms of the queries that have been raised, complaints. We have looked at the indicators and interrogated them so that they are more precise. So we are looking into those issues so that we know that workshops do not necessarily address the intentional problems. So we are looking at it and also coming up with tangible, measurable indicators that we are able to measure. The audit and risk committee members, we have a member of the audit risk committee who will be able to talk to that question around who are they and what their qualifications are. I think he will assist us in that regard. Material losses through criminal conduct, I think the CFO can give us answers, can provide the answers there. That will also include the contracts related to related parties. Some of the managers that are with me will be able to respond to those questions. Suspense account, I think the CFO can assist us in that regard. Even the and only 3 years TV license, will have the license people that are with me to give a response to that effect. And the question about TV access and also related to access that should be enjoyed by people with disability, primarily the deaf, I think is an issue that we would hope to also capture in our report coming back to Parliament, because the questions around the research that has been carried out, has it been implemented and all that, and the actual outcome of it. So we may not necessarily provide a precise answer, but we'll be able to also include it in our report. And in that report, we'll look at the issue of resuscitating the advisory committee, where we had participation of people who were representing people, the deaf people. And then also the issue of protecting children, I think is a matter that I will also try to include in the report. I may not necessarily have the answer at this stage, but I think one will be able to include it in the report and issue in December. That also includes the issue pertaining to the internet access facility in terms of the schools and all that. And then, okay, the attitude was not a question. Repetition of the same problems, I think that will come in the report.
a licensee in terms of respond to the phone calls about the person from the licensing division who can be able to give a response to that defect. So over to the CFO on the financial matter.
Okay, thanks, Jay. There was a question on the fruitless and wholesale expenditure. If you look at it on page 155, I think the problem here was the interest which was paid because of the late payment. The problem is it was a contract, which was an old contract where we were supposed to be paying within 7 days, which became a challenge. So we've actually negotiated that contract that at least it become 30 days. And then on the one of the technical equipment, what happened is that the region, they actually did the quotation on their own, you know. I think there was a misinterpretation in terms of the amount, that this amount because was actually very small, then they thought because it's a the region they can do that, whereas it was actually 3,000. So that corrective measure has been taken on that one. On the payroll cost, yes, that we needed the temporary staff on the finance side. It went to the BAC, but because it was an HR agency which was actually handling that, what happened is that now they didn't give a proper focus in terms of expenditure that is going to be incurred, and then those people were there for a certain period. So I think it became a gray area between the HR process and the procurement process. In some others, maybe just general, is that we formed the committee that actually looks at all irregular and fruitless expenditure and makes the recommendation to the CEO in terms of where action needs to be taken, either disciplinary or just go to the PMS of the people. The one of the turnaround time on the payment, we're actually looking at that. We've actually mapped out the processes from supply chain. I think the challenge that we've been having is that you find that maybe people are taking the invoices to the project manager. We're actually now enforcing that everything must be recorded. Then it can be traced. So this has been a little bit of an improvement in that area. On the material loss, here we had an employee under the National Revenue Fund who actually transferred some other payment to his account. What was actually happening is that he actually gave some other operators his bank account, which was where he opened the bank account under his own company, and give the details and say deposit this for as a payment to ICASA. On that one is that the employee up to this far, what has happened is that he went through the disciplinary within ICASA and he was actually expelled. And then we opened the criminal charges. So the police are still busy. He's in custody at the moment, so the police are still busy with their own investigation. And then on our side is that we have actually held his pension as a reimbursement. And then on the related parties, which is on page, I think, 141, this one is more of an accounting policy which relates to related parties that are related. For example, if we have a holding company, all the subsidiaries to say what business have you been doing with the subsidiaries, did you do the business at arm's length? I think this is mainly about that. And then in terms of the one of the supply chain, the auditors did do the audit on that one, so there were not any findings in terms of the conflict of the interest. That is with the staff members and also at the council level. The
payroll system, I think I'll just give it to the GM HR just to answer that one. On the suspense account, we've actually worked on that one to make sure that the suspense account is not actually being used. It only be used at a very, I think, extreme cases. The challenge that we're still having is that the licensee, particularly when they make an application, they don't have an account number, so they need to deposit the money so that they can actually do the application. Then we find that they don't actually put any reference number. We've had a discussion with our main banker to force the licensees to actually put the reference number so that it's very easy to identify those deposits. It's working to a certain extent. Sometimes the banker will not actually comply in terms of giving the reference, but we are making a follow-up. There's a little bit of improvement in that area. Thanks.
Chair, can I just ask the what our audit, this property, CDSO?
I am CDSO Pavasha, a member of the audit committee. I am a chartered accountant with about 10 years, no, more than 10 years experience as an accountant, as an auditor. But also, I've been a financial manager, I've been an internal auditor, because I'm an auditor in public practice, doing consulting, like I consult in all those areas, forensic accounting, internal auditing, and external auditing. Now, the other members of the committee, we've got two other ladies who are also chartered accountants. One of them is in public practice, and the other one is working for Standard Bank. And then our chairperson, he's also done accounting, but he's not a qualified accountant. And then the final person who's a member, he's a legal person who specializes in human resources. I'm not sure if you require additional information.
Look, you see, the issue here, which they raised about the internal audit, one was the incapability of doing its work because they were just sending people, this didn't do that, and so on. Why you didn't act on the issues which are raising there? That's one clear issue, which you need a response on that. The other issue was the issue of the qualification of those people, which I think when you write the report before end of December, you are going to put that into that report. The last issue, the statement or the report is not signed. So those are clear-cut issues. We just needed to respond on that. The issue of the qualification of the members and so on, that one we can get when we get the report before end of December. But we need a clear response on these issues. One, why no action was taken? Is pointing fingers. What is your effectiveness as that audit as the committee? Because you seem just to be reporting, but it seems that nothing happened and so on. That's one issue. The second one is the non-signing of a report. That matter is not responded to as the second issue and so on. So if you can respond on those direct issues, then the other one is qualification to get into the report.
Okay, I think, you know, you will, if you have to look on page 111, you will note the number of meetings. Normally, audit committees meet four times a year. There will be maybe additional meetings of about two additional meetings for approval of financial statements. But you will see that the number of meetings are considerably high. And that was because of the work that we were trying to do as the audit committee. And I think what the point is, it's not that we've not been effective as a committee, because we have been assessed by the CASA councillors. But also, maybe what, and you said we're not throwing blame on, the intention is not to say that, you know, we're trying to blame other people here, but the intention was just to highlight some of the issues which maybe were, which we tried to raise. For instance, the issue of the technical committee. which would assist in the preparation of the financial statements. We as audit committee introduced that idea that we should do this so that we can make sure that these things are addressed prior to the audit, the external auditor coming. But, and these were ideas which were not implemented. And that, I think that's basically what we're saying. But it's not, the intention is not to, well, I don't know, how to interpret it is that we have not done our job because we did. But what was the snare saying is that we could not get, it was not implemented by the management, our recommendations.
You think that if you are not assisting, if we have to make a recommendation as a committee, why was it not implemented? You see, you are saying by management, then what? You see, the issue is, it was not implemented by management, we are supposed to implement, we are supposed to enforce that implementation. So those are the issues we are looking for. So if you just say a general statement was not implemented, we are not helping. Why is not implemented, we are supposed to enforce the implementation. So those are the issues we are looking for, so that we know and thank you, finance, where the responsibility lies. But as it is now, that's why we are saying it's a blaming sort of approach, because we should be able to be clear. We recommended it was supposed to be enforced at this level, it was not enforced, and so on, so that we are clear what is the problem. Because maybe the way forward outlined has not even talked to those issues, but wanted to know exactly who was supposed to enforce it. Or that that's a committee which recommends people are just taking it when it is necessary. There is no enforcement of your recommendations for implementation and so on.
I think that's it.
No, I think quite well. I think this.
You can respond.
I'm not able
to. I think quite obvious that these issues were discussed between ourselves as the audit committee and the members of management, which would include the CEO, the CFO, and the other members, the CAE. And all those people would have been involved. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, when ICASA got a qualified opinion in October 2009, I particularly said to them, we're going to have another qualification unless we address this matter immediately. We can't meet, we're already in October already, and this issue has to be addressed now. And we had our first technical committee meeting only in May, when the auditor general was due to start auditing.
No, it's fine. You see, we want direct answers. Let me give the members the chance to say what they want to say. But you are not helping in responding.
Yes, Chair. I just want to make a proposal. I know I am not being mediated yourself. Seeing that this is the area where we actually want answers, I hear what Mr. Kawase is saying. But there is another side of this chapter when we look at the lines of corporate governance, the lines of reporting. I can see exactly where the problem is. And I just want to propose, with your permission, that as a committee, can we, because we don't have time, but when we have time, can we look at this area? So that we have more understanding in terms of the lines of reporting. Because I can tell you, there is someone who is responsible for this area who did not actually carry forward the caution that was given, that these are the red areas. Can you please step up the game? So I am pleading, Chair, so that let's look at this area also as a
Advocate Dylan.
puts out her hand at the end of the list, she thinks she must be in the front of the list. Chair, look, I think we must just talk directly to the chairperson. No use asking the audit committee. Because the audit committee can't see their own problem. If you write in a report in the annual statement, you, the audit committee, your chairperson signs it, and says, all the work we did, the Auditor General was not prepared to use one bit of it. We ourselves assessed our effectiveness at 30%. How do you go and blame others? You cannot blame others. So it's no use looking at that audit committee. It's got a problem. It's got a problem. The problem is, please just put your hand down. You've had a chance 4 times to respond. You haven't. Okay? You're part of the problem. You, that audit committee. If you do not, if your audit committee cannot do that, if they are professionals, which some of them are, they're auditors there, if they cannot see that their integrity and their competence as an audit committee is vital to the lifeblood of the finances of ICASA, then that is the problem you have. So I'm talking to the chair, I'm not even talking to that audit committee. I'm saying, please, chair, look at that audit committee and improve its effectiveness. If it's you, the council, that are not giving effect to its work, then you are to blame, the council. If it's them that's not doing their job because they're scared of the previous chair or they fear whoever they fear, then sort them out and get people there that are not scared to do their work. So please, I think that is the first problem. The second issue is this. It's good to give us a report in December. But the issue for me is not the report, Chair. The issue, the report must be telling us that this is done, this is done, this is done. You have to put these things in place. And your CEO actually said some of it's been done. That's not reflected in the report. But the point is that has to be done. You know, we cannot, you know, come back here next year in March. And then you tell us, well, we've now got... By the way, you said to us yourself, you said the vendors have already been obtained. Now, if you have obtained the vendors to do this work, let them do it immediately. Let them do it before the end of January. Let us start the new year with you re-looking your whole... I mean, I would be happy if I bump into you in the street. And you say to me, I walked out of this meeting. I called an urgent ICASA council meeting. We sat down for 2 days just talking finances, and we've now made decisions on all these issues, and this is what we're doing. I don't care what you're doing. That's for you to decide. But the fact of the matter is, we as Parliament are now going on a reset. And I'm sitting now and I'm thinking, I don't know what's happening in ICASA. I don't know when they come back whether they're going to have a healthy organization. That's the problem. That, Chair, please, that has to be addressed. Forget everything else and just sit down before this December, put things in place and sort out those things. So that when I bump into you in Plettenberg Bay, when you're on holiday there in December, at the end of December hopefully, that you can tell us, these are the things that have been done. Please, you know, I don't want to sit here and bicker with audit committees and so on that haven't done their work.
Seven.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now, it's just clear that the audit committee didn't do their work. I just want to refer them to page 112. They said, the audit and risk committee has recommended that an investigation be done into the competency and effectiveness of the finance action at the end of the 2009 financial year. The report of the Auditor General for the 2010 year audit doesn't support the need for the investigation. So, I'm also adding that the audit committee is not assisting. Because what we want to know is, what have they done? Some of the issues are their own issues they have resolved. The Auditor General has endorsed what they have resolved, but they have not acted anything on those issues. That's what we wanted to know. And lastly, I asked a question in regard to what was that fear? There's a way, and it's a fear on page 112 of the former chairperson to the management staff. I wanted clarity. I asked that question earlier. What was that fear?
Chair, okay, I won't go back to the Internal Audit Committee.
Can you talk to this issue? Because you say overwhelmingly the committee acknowledge that there's an improvement in the car. Generally, in terms of the way of operation and doing things, there is a change than what we've been experiencing previously. But the emphasis is in your internal control, in particular in terms of the finances. And we must be clear on this matter. You see, you won't come here as the councillors and refer us to your internal audit committee or your executive. When we want these answers, we want these answers from you as councillors because we appoint you and you are accountable here. So we must clarify those issues so that when you come back, you understand that we need those answers from you as councillors. And most of these things, they are upholding themselves as council to make sure that your system are up and running. Because the issue which has been raised about the internal committee is that after they've done their work, what they recommend you must implement. Whatever internal process we are having doesn't matter, but for us what matters is you, whether you are able to exercise your authority in terms of making sure that internal processes are adhered to and things are happening. You see, you can't have a report like this one. You see, this report is bad for the internal audit because it does not provide the answers and the solution. It's just talking about those issues generally. I'm sure Honorable Makazi is okay, it's correct to say someone somewhere was supposed to implement, but you cannot detect it in this report the way it's been written and it's not clear as to what's happened. So my appeal will be that as part of the report you should be writing to us before end of December. You must also clarify what is the internal process of communicating, where the authority lies. If the internal audit does their work, where do they report, and who must take the responsibility of their recommendations, who must implement those recommendations, and how do you come in as council to deal with those issues? So that next time when you come in, we're clear about those issues. So we've been generous to try to point to the internal audit to respond on these issues and the other things, and so on, but it's not the thing which we are going to encourage to do. We want you as a council to be responsible and we are assisted by your support staff or your administration staff and so on. But really the issue is internal control, which we need to be clear around that. Honorable Magaz has just nailed it on the head to say the processes seem not to be clear with the authority from what level to where in terms of the implementation of the recommendation and so on. So maybe those are the issues which are key, which you must come back to us as part of the other issues we are outstanding and so that we are clear. Next time when you come here, we know this is where the problem is exactly, not just to look the problem all over and so on, and put the internal audit into just right on the spot here to try and respond, and they are begging even to respond on the issues and so on. So we don't like to do that in the committee and so on. So you can respond here in short because we have to attend with another meeting.
Honorable members of the committee, your points are highly well taken, as I said. And one of the reasons why we got this gentleman on board, one of the highest prerequisites was that we should get a CEO who is highly competent in the area of finance. And I can certainly say with the few days that he has been in, and he can attest to that, is that we felt the weak point of ICASA is the financial, the whole sociology of managing that part needs to be revisited. So I couldn't agree with you more on what you have said, and we really appreciate your having been very candid to us, and we can assure you that if it means working December month to get this right, we shall indeed get it right. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. We're supposed to take the report and the call termination. But as you know that our chairperson, Ismail Bad, is leaving us. We're supposed to be in his function. We're supposed to be there at 1. So they've been waiting there until up to now, and is leaving Parliament at around 1:45. So there are two things we can do. We are adjourning Parliament at 4:45. If you can wait, you can give us that report at that time.
or the sporadic before the attainment of parliament. The second option is that we find your 30 minutes or an hour next week on our slot to come and give us the call termination report. So these are the two ways you can handle the matter, but obviously you can't take the report now because we must go to that function.
The second option appeals to us a lot, and I won't bring my whole tribe here. We'll just bring those people who are specifically dealing with the termination area.
So we'll communicate to you in terms of the time and the date for next week so that you can take that report. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and your councillors, and your executive, and your supporting staff. We appreciate the work you do. But of course, where we feel that you are lacking, we'll continue to emphasize that fact. Thank you.
I wish we can continue in this spirit because we want to get it right. Thank you.
Thank you.